Well, again, Happy New Year, church. Great to be with us all together as we worship the Lord. It's kind of hard to believe that this is New Year's Day. It is pretty seldom that we get to do New Year's together in a worship service. So thank you for joining us together. It is hard to move forward when you're looking behind you all the time. This is actually a lesson that I've learned by walking one of our dogs. My family and I have three dogs. Here's a picture of me with all three of them. Izzy is the one, she's the brindle, boxer lab mix, the little pit mix, and they're all rescues. We don't know what they are. With the big smile and kind of the black muzzle is, and the white chest is right next to me there. And then the dog on the far side, the big guy over there, is Rudy. And Rudy, when we walk, Rudy is an absolute sweetheart. He belonged to our neighbors, and when they moved, they were not able to take him with us. That's Rudy wearing my son's graduation cap, by the way. Not looking all that pleased about it, but he's a good sport. When they were not able to move, Rudy was already kind of part of our pack. And so they said, hey, would you be willing to care for our dog for us? And we said, sure. And then they moved to France and he became our dog. But while we walk, and my wife and I walk our dogs usually 2.5 to 3 miles a day. If you live anywhere on the Camino Pablo side of stuff, you've probably seen us out walking the roads in the mornings or sometimes in the evenings. Rudy has this tendency that if something catches his attention, and it could be just about anything, a squirrel, definitely another dog, he will keep walking forward, but look to the side and the back as he's going. And it happens just about every walk that we do, and every once in a while I'll have to go, Rudy, Rudy, and I'll have to pull him a little bit, because if he keeps walking forward, he's going to run into a car or a post or a bush or a tree or something. And there have been a couple times where, fortunately, he has a big, strong head. He has run smack into something because he is not looking where he is walking. It is hard to move forward when you're looking behind you all the time. In this new year, we need to learn the lesson that Timon from The Lion King taught Pumbaa and Simba. You have to put your past behind you. Watch this.
Something terrible, but I don't want to talk about it.
Good, we don't want to hear about it.
Come on, Timon. Anything we can do?
Not unless you can change the past.
You know, kid, in times like this, my buddy Timon here says you gotta put your behind in your past.
No.
I mean,
amateur. Lie down before you hurt yourself. It's you gotta put your past behind you.
Putting your behind in your past is not a bad way to go either, most of the time. It's better than having your behind in front of you, typically. This is actually a lesson to put your past behind you that the Apostle Paul teaches to several of his churches as well, specifically the church in Philippi. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. It'll be on the screens for you. Not that I have already obtained all of this. In other words, I haven't achieved everything I've wanted to yet, church, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. As my dog clearly demonstrates, just about every time we go for a walk, it can be hard to move forward when you're looking behind you. And as human beings, we tend to do the exact same thing. We tend to let our past determine our futures. We tend to actually live in our past from time to time, and we're trying to go forward looking behind us the whole time. And the Apostle Paul and I this morning want to encourage us to turn our eyes towards what God has in front of us and press on towards that goal. I think there's a couple of reasons we tend to look in our past. Number one, we look in our past because it feels like our past shapes us. It defines us and our future. We can feel sometimes kind of stuck in our present because of the choices we've made in the past or choices that have been made for us as well. We feel like those choices kind of carry forward and a decision that was made maybe a long time ago has consequences that continue to play out today. Maybe you feel as though you spent years trying to run to get out from under the shadow of a decision that you made or that was made for you. It could be a hurt you're carrying. It can feel like something that's come to define you. Part of your identity is now wrapped up in this injury, and you actually can't move on from it because you feel like it's with you all the time. Perhaps it's the weight of the past that you carry isn't a result of your choice, but one that was made for you. Maybe someone made a selfish choice and you continue to deal with the consequences of someone else's selfish choice. Maybe it's no one's fault, but you're still feeling injured from a decision that was made by an impersonal corporation. Your job was cut or your plea for help went unanswered. Now, your past definitely does shape who you are. We can't avoid that. We all are a summation of all the choices that we have made that have led up to this moment, January 1st, 2023. I have to get that date right. I have to lock 2023 into my head. You wouldn't be who you are without those decisions and the past that we all have. The good, the bad, and even the ugly parts of our past have made us who we are today. But the question is, do those things that made you have to define who you are, or can you find another identity to help you move forward differently? Paul reminds us that when we accept Christ, when Jesus steps into that stream of our past moving into our future, that something radically transformative happens. That when Jesus steps into the stream of your life, he creates us new somehow. This is from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. That somehow, miraculously, when Jesus steps in, he deals with our past completely, sets us free to have a different kind of future. Our past does not have to control us. It does influence us, but it does not have to define you and keep you feeling stuck and unable to freely move into the future. We can look back because we feel like our past can shape our future, and we have no control over where that future is. But we can also look to the past because it feels like the glory days were back there and we want to work to recreate that glorious past. For many of us, it feels like it was so great back then. It can be fun to remember where you've come from and those parts of our past that we want to be proud of, but you can also actually get stuck in wanting to get back to how things were, or at least how you perceived them to be. Sort of like being a high school quarterback who's never able to let go of that role and still longs to be popular and important and needed. Trying to always get back to that, and you can never kind of live out from underneath the shadow of this glorious past that you had. A new future is frightening, and it's actually much easier just to recreate what we already knew in the past and try to go back to that. We knew how to exist then. We knew how to get through then. We liked that. It's more comfortable, and we know how to live in that reality back there. But when we do this, we undermine any hope of moving into a new future at all. We often gloss over as well some of the issues that were present in the past when we glorify those past experiences. It can feel like the past was so great until you start to actually reflect on, oh yeah, but there was that. Then there was that piece of it too. We do that personally, but we actually also tend to do that corporately, especially as a church whose past seems more glorious than its present. MVPC, we cannot live in the past or try to recreate the past that was. Please do not place on Brandon the expectation that we will get back to how things were 20 years ago here, 30 years ago. That is not a fair expectation to place on our new pastor. That is not the direction we are going. There is a new future for us. Will it be glorious? I sure hope so. Is it going to be like the past? I kind of hope not, actually, in a lot of ways. While much of this church's past is wonderful, and there were great things happening here 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, it wasn't all perfect then either. You know, I've had a lot of questions. I've had the privilege of serving this church for 16 years as an associate pastor. And when Rob decided to step out, I had a lot of people asking me, will you be our new pastor, Dave? Can you step into that role? Is that something that you would consider doing? And I thought and prayed about it a lot. And ultimately, I decided that was not the role that God was calling me to. And here's the primary reason why. I had been here at that point for about 14 to 15 years. And I am such a part of the infrastructure in the life of this church that for me to step into a new lead pastor role here, I would have felt the weight of trying to carry on what had already been here. The experience that I had had over those previous 15 years, I would want to carry forward. I would have made minor tweaks, but I really feel like what our church needed was an influx of new ways, of new thoughts, of new ways of thinking and doing things from the outside at the very top that was going to trickle all the way down in this organization and this community and make a complete difference here. I love this church, and I hope to continue to serve this church for as long as I can, but I recognize that what this church needed was not more of the past, but something radically new and different, folks. And I pray that that is what Brandon is bringing us. And I pray that we are ready for it. God has a new future for us here, church. Listen to this passage from Isaiah, and Pastor Rick is going to expand on this, so I'm going to touch on it very briefly. Listen to this from Isaiah 48. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. If we don't focus on the past, if we don't allow our past to be that burden and that weight that we carry with us, or if we don't focus on our past and try to get back to it and recreate what was there, what we feel like was the glory days, what are we supposed to do? Paul says that, he says, I forget the past and I strain on toward what is ahead. Church, we need to strain on towards what is ahead. There is a future in front of us that we need to boldly step into here together. It's interesting that Paul uses two terms to talk about the future. He says, I want to strain towards what is ahead, and he says, I want to press on towards this goal that God has called me. Both are kind of difficult words. I don't really want to strain, in all honesty, and pressing on feels like a lot of work. But unfortunately, that's what God is calling us to. To go into the future will take some work for each and every one of us. It takes work to let go of the past, and it takes work to stay focused on what God is calling us to in the future. It's not easy to strain towards what is ahead. But I can tell you, as you do that, and I mean, these are lessons that I've learned in my life, the achievement that you get is terrific. 3 years ago this month, my brother, my oldest son, and I flew from San Francisco to Tanzania and decided to join an expedition to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Tallest freestanding mountain on the continent of Africa. 19,000 something feet at the top. And it was 8 days going up. We had a rest day at just over 13,000 feet. I knew my body would be able to handle going above 14. I've climbed Mount Whitney before, and my body was fine doing that. But I wasn't sure how it was going to be. I do get altitude sickness from time to time, so we all took what's called Diamox, which is altitude sickness medicine that keeps that at bay. I did feel kind of bad one day as we hit 15,000 feet. I got a headache and was able to take a nap and wake up that evening and feel fine. But we trudged along. It was a journey. It was kind of a slog. And what interestingly, when I backpack, my brother and I tend to go pretty fast. A year ago, right before Thanksgiving, we did about 35 miles in 3 days in and around Yosemite. So that's a lot of miles. When we were doing Kilimanjaro, the leaders up front and the African guy out there in the orange shirt was one of our guides, and we had about four guides with us, and they would literally stay in front of us and behind us, and then a couple other guys in the middle of us. And you were not allowed to walk faster than our guide. And they walked slowly. It was a slow walk up a big mountain, is what Kilimanjaro was. And their whole thing is pole pole, slowly, slowly. And he's like, there is no rush. You will get to the top of this mountain. You do not need to go fast. The amazing thing was we all had porters, and so I carried a day pack with us, and you can see the guy in the side of the picture over here with the giant thing. He's one of the porters that carried all of our stuff, and they were in flip-flops and like tennis shoes, and we're all in this like technical mountaineering gear and stuff. They're literally running past us with like 100 pounds on their shoulders. It was an amazing experience. I wasn't sure, especially on the last day, that I was going to make it. I had to strain forward quite a bit. So the last day, it's some day, we wake up at midnight. We had kind of like lain down in our tents for about 2 hours and woke up, geared up, put literally almost all of our clothes on, headlamps on, trekking poles, and we start going up towards the summit. And it is a long hike. It is really hard. We started at 15,000 feet, and we're going above 19,000 feet, so it's 4,000 vertical feet in about 4 miles. So it is incredibly steep. It is switchbacks going back and forth, and all you can see, by the way, at about 2 a.m., when your body just wants to lay down and go to sleep, is a line of headlights going up the mountain above you. And you're like, I just have to keep going up. I had several times where I was like, I just want to stop. I think I can, this is far enough. And then the guides would encourage us. These guides were amazing. They found out I was a pastor. They were all Christian guys. And they were singing worship songs. The guy in front and behind us was doing these call and response worship songs in their language. It was beautiful and it was encouraging. I had this one moment in the middle of this as my son and I were going up, and he was struggling as well. So we put earbuds in, and we're like, maybe music will kind of help keep our minds off the fact that our bodies just want to go to sleep and shut down right now and just stop. So he's a little farther ahead of me. He takes my phone and presses play on my playlist there, and I'm just far enough away where it keeps cutting out. For me, the song, the Bluetooth isn't quite reaching far enough. The one clip of one song that I heard is from the band The Killers. I don't know if you're familiar with The Killers, one of my favorite bands. It's the song When You Were Young. Listen to these lyrics, and I tell you, this is the only lyrics I heard that night as we were hiking. This is from their song When We're Young. Can we climb this mountain? I don't know. Higher now than ever before. I know we can make it if we take it slow. Take it easy, easy now, watch it go. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding, God. These are the lyrics you give me right now? Higher now than ever before. And every step I took was higher now than I'd ever been before. We did make it to the summit. Here's a picture of our team up at the summit. And it felt so good to make it up there, to be done with that. So it was 4,000 vertical feet up. We made it up there, hung out up there for a little bit, took a whole bunch of pictures, and then went back down to base camp and then had to keep going down to another camp below that. It was a long, exhausting day. We had to strain to keep going forward. But I would not have had this experience if I had stopped. I would not have had that experience if I had said, I don't know if I can keep going. This is high enough here right now. We have to remember that Christ has taken hold of us, and he will not let go. He is the one that is with us as we press on. None of us has any idea what's in store for us, both personally and corporately, in this coming year. I'm sure there will be great moments as well as some really hard ones this coming year, both individually for all of us as well as corporately as a church. But we can trust that the God who holds the future in his hands is walking with us all. He will hold you fast. What do you need to let go of this year, right now, in order to move forward into this future that God's calling you into? Are there hurts that you have that you need to just let go of? Are there fears of the future that you just need to say, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust you with this? Is there a love of what's in your past that you can celebrate, but it no longer needs to hold control of you in your future? Are there burdens and worries about the future that you need to let go of as well? As we come to communion here, which we're going to do in just a moment, you're invited to a table where someone else's past determines your future. You're invited to a table where your past has been dealt with, and you no longer need to be defined by your past because you've been forgiven. You're invited to come to a table that's hosted by the God of the future, the one who has set a course for you and challenges you and encourages you and cheers you on as you run it. You're invited to come to a table by the one who has taken hold of you and will not let you slip and fall. He calls you heavenward towards the prize that awaits you there. You're invited to come to his table. Pastor Rick, why don't you come lead us?